The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Oh, hey, everybody.
Hi, guys.
We were just talking right before we started because Gina, the staff boozer, has our drinks ready before we even hit record.
Also, notice how the entire room now smells like lemon.
It's unbelievable.
Because Gina just brings her fucking, like scent everywhere, it's amazing.
Not even do these drinks probably taste good. The air smells good around them.
The server looks good serving them.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah.
The staff boozer.
Unlike Matt the bartender, which, by the way,
I'm literally
just standing
vomiting
there
in my mouth right now. But we do want to have a bullhorn for Gina,
so that way
she's on call.
Yeah, because for you guys listening, like sometimes we'll be like doing a couple things.
And she's at her desk working.
Yeah, but it's like just far enough away that like it's kind of a nuisance to jump up and go get her. So we were thinking, what if we had an air horn that was like bam 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 bam, and then she knew.
Or like a bat signal with like a bottle of booze in the sky.
That would be even more fun.
And Gina can say, oh, I'm being called to my team.
Well, listen, Gina, we don't mean that like you are serving us. We mean that like you are the hero that Gotham needs, frankly, is what we're saying.
Exactly. Yeah. You are the hero that Gotham needs.
There we go.
What are we drinking today, my love?
You know, it's hot girl summer.
Absolutely. And hot boy summer. Let me just put that out there
I'm comfortable with it just being hot girl summer.
Okay, fine.
I'm comfortable with that.
So it's also highball summer.
Maybe it is hot boy summer. There it is. She gave it to me.
Go on, Gina. Come on. Darren, give her a chance here.
So yeah, the basic highball is kind of having a moment. There are these machines that this Japanese company Suntory makes, and you'll start seeing more and more in bars and restaurants around the country. They like cost a couple grand, but they have like the most carbonated seltzer that you've ever tasted.
Oh,
I'm a seltzer, like avid seltzer drinker.
And they're also, they have like this little truck that's going to festivals that you might find them at. But Suntory sent us over a complimentary bottle to try.
Thank you, Suntory.
The vodka that they're using in these highballs, but you can also get gin or whiskey. But so this is just a like simple vodka highball with a lemon twist. And
it looks amazing.
What is a highball?
Yeah.
It is soda water and the spirit and a garnish.
So, when I order vodka soda, I'm ordering a highball?
Yeah, so you can sound way fancier.
No, I will, because vodka soda makes me sound so basic. Let's take pumpkin spice latte, but I'm going to be like, pumpkin highball, bitch.
I'm going to order a pumpkin highball come October.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Come October.
I love a...
Next week.
Next week, it's time.
Wow, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Thanks, Gina. Here, let's cheers to Gina.
This.
Cheers to Gina, but not to Matt.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers, bitch.
Cheers. I'm reaching. Sorry. Matt, here you go. All right, take a sip.
Ooh, first off, right amount of ice, super refreshing. I love a vodka soda, so this is going to be right up my alley.
Oh my God.
It's great. The lemon garnish is just right. Thank you, Suntory, because that vodka is really good. Because Suntory, I know for whiskey, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
the vodka is pretty new to the market. It's made out of rice, which is interesting.
Oh, interesting.
I didn't even know you could make vodka.
Well, because that's kind of like sake. Sake is made out of rice. I'm looking
familiar
at Gina for like validation.
Yes, I'm nodding.
She's nodding.
Please help me. I'm drowning. But
thanks,
delicious.
Gina.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Matt will be joining us now, I think.
This seems like a drink that Matt could have made us.
Yeah. But why? But why?
Like, if we have Gina, why? We got to stick with Gina.
Well, obviously. Yeah.
All of the listeners have no idea what I do for you two. I'll just say that.
Do you know what you do for us?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
Fair enough.
A list. Send it to the fans.
Right.
If you give us $5, we'll send you the list that Matt has compiled.
And it's of two things.
Of what he does for the show.
Exactly.
He's like, walk into work and leave work.
Well, everyone listening, grab your highball. And let's get started on this week's episode.
Let's do it.
Today's story begins in the small town of Logan, Ohio, home of the last remaining washboard factory, which is an interesting little detail.
Does everyone know what a washboard is?
Do youngsters know?
Isn't a washboard where you wash it against your shirts and that's how people clean, like in the rivers and shit?
Yeah,
that's right.
Okay.
All right.
I know my washboards.
I mean, is it literally still there today? Is that what we're reading here?
I believe so.
That's amazing. Where's that market? Who's buying those things?
A washboard?
Yeah, a washboard.
Anyone that did laundry does. They're not in their market because that's got to be the worst thing ever.
Well, of course, back in the day.
Even hand washing a sock. I'm like, really? Jesus. Shout out Ohio, though. OHIO. Go Buckeyes.
Well, the local sheriff described the town of 7,000 to buried in the backyard, saying, quote, "It's your typical small town, industrial, a lot of factories and fabrication. It's a good place to raise a family," end quote. It was certainly not the kind of place that you locked your doors, and it was where 19-year-old Todd Schultz met 18-year-old Annette Cooper. Annette Cooper sounds so familiar to me, just personally.
Annette Cooper.
Megan's agreeing. I don't know what it is
You're
about that
name. Confusing it with Anderson, obviously.
You know what? That's what it was. Anderson Cooper.
I don't know if that's what it was.
You're not confusing it with Anderson Cooper.
Like, Annette's not on CNN,
How is Anderson?
He's great.
He's great? Good.
Yes.
They met in high school, and after graduation, Annette moved in with Todd and his family. Todd's brother said, quote, "Sometime in the fall of 1982, Annette moved into my mom's house. Todd and my brother Eric shared a bedroom, and Annette shared the bedroom with my sister. They were planning to move in together. They were looking for a place," end quote. While I was giving you guys that, Matt came over and pointed at something. Would you guys like to share something?
It is the picture of Annette.
Okay, I don't recognize her, but that's good. Thank you, Todd Schultz.
Oh, you don't recognize?
I don't recognize her,
We can confirm it's not Anderson Cooper.
It's not Anderson Cooper.
This is what we know.
Correct.
Allegedly.
Let's go ahead and say it's factual.
Yeah, okay.
All right?
Okay.
Todd was searching hard for a good job, and Annette was studying computer science. His sister remembered the last time she saw them. The couple had a fight, and she said, quote, "Annette was talking to Todd upstairs, and suddenly she comes downstairs, and she just walked out the front door. Todd went after her. He caught up with her, and he waved at me like, 'Don't worry about it. It'll be fine,'" end quote. Early the next morning, Todd's brother Greg saw that their beds hadn't been slept in, and he told his mom they hadn't come home. It didn't really make sense, and it was very unlike them.
There's always this weird, eerie feeling about being like, and the last time I saw them, they were going out to breakfast or like had a fight and like can't handle the booze.
I just took a sip while Darren was saying that, and I think it was all vodka, and it just kind of hit me.
I love when you get a little rowdy, Johnny boy.
Honestly, I can't even drink this for the most part. It's really strong, and I've only had
All right, team, pitch in here.
I will black out if I drink this very strong drink. Oh. Maybe that's what you want on the show.
Kind of in.
Anyway, what were you saying? Sorry.
But you know, like the sister just saying like, oh, I remember they were fighting and she walked out, like, which is horrible to see.
I don't
want to see your siblings fight or anybody fight, but to know that that's like the last time, there's just like, ugh, it's tragic.
It's such a thing about closure, right? Like it's just some people.
What if I stopped them for a moment?
Yeah, exactly.
And like counsel, I mean, we don't know yet what happened to them, but it's kind of like, could I have done something to
different.
Shift? Yeah,
totally. Well, the website Monsters and Critics wrote, quote, "It was unusual for the pair to go off without telling anyone, and with Schultz being a volunteer firefighter and Cooper a college student, their families were concerned at this out of character disappearance," end quote. Todd's mother made a missing persons report, so that's when you know things are getting serious.
Oh yeah.
It's like, it's not just that they hadn't answered their phone for a day. Something's going on.
I'm glad that she's acting fast, though.
Definitely.
Because on some of the cases we cover, it's like...
Totally.
Well,
a week later,
we waited,
2 weeks later.
Right, exactly. We waited, we weren't sure, but it's good that this is happening quick.
Yeah, no, totally. The sheriff said, quote, "We asked the Schultzes, Was there anything missing? Did it look like they had packed up, you know, going away for the weekend? We thought that because they've been going together for quite a while, and they just might have decided to go get a justice of the peace and get married, end quote.
That's possible. Sure. Like a little bit of an elope, but you wouldn't think that like the last thing that the sister sees is them fighting about it. And we don't really know what they were fighting about.
Well, right. We don't even know at this point. But the family was highly skeptical, and Todd's sister asked, quote, why would he go on foot when he has two cars sitting here?
Good point. End take quote. A drink.
Yeah, take a drink of this very strong drink. Tip lines were set up. The sheriff told Buried in the Backyard, quote, reports started coming in that they had been seen previously walking down Gallagher Avenue with a couple of blankets, a pillow, and a boombox. One can kind of assume that they were walking to the cornfield and that they were going to enjoy each other's company, end quote. The cornfield, huh?
I was thinking, like, okay, a boombox, a pillow, and blankets. Like, it's all the people that line up for, like, SNL.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
that's true.
Weeks before.
On 49th Street
outside.
Yeah,
and have, like, tents and stuff. Like,
listen, people want to get those tickets.
I don't think you should ever go to a cornfield.
No,
I just
never.
Feel like cornfields are just trouble.
Nothing
just,
ever good happens in a
remember
cornfield.
Remember when I told you guys about that? My mom taking me to that really scary movie when I was four, Fire in the Sky?
Yeah.
But it's like, based on a true story, he gets alien abducted
in a cornfield. I remember that.
So I will never be, and after that movie Signs with the crop circles, I'm out.
Also, what was that other movie where if you build it, they will come?
Oh, Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams.
But that was like a good movie.
I know, but like, it's
Shula Joe Jackson.
But doesn't he like come back as a ghost?
Yeah.
Are you too young to remember Children of the Corn?
Children of the Corn.
I know that one, unfortunately.
Listen, stay away from cornfields, folks, okay? That's the moral of today's story. Here at Martinis and Murder, we talk about a lot of terrible things that can happen to bodies. Death, dismemberment, getting pelted by cocktail garnishes.
But the folks at Native want you to take care of your body. After all, it's the only place you have to live. That's why they create safe, simple, effective deodorants with trusted ingredients and trusted performance.
The best part about Native deodorant is that it really works. It can keep up with crazy long work days, busy parent life, rigorous workout schedules. It even keeps me smelling great when I'm running away from Matt and his orange peels.
With Native, less is more. They have fewer, simpler ingredients so you know everything that's in your deodorant. And they never include aluminum, parabens, or talc.
People are really loving Native. They've got over 7,000 five-star reviews. You can check them out on The Today Show, Women's Health, Good Morning America, and more. Plus, they have a really wide variety of amazing scents.
My favorite scent is actually the cucumber and mint. You guys know I work kind of super long days and hate coming home and feeling gross. Native seriously held up to my regular deodorant and I felt super clean and fresh at the end of the day.
I've really been loving the coconut and vanilla scent. I took my little cousin out for a long day of shopping and Native helped keep me feeling fresh.
Trying Native is risk-free. They offer free returns and exchanges in the USA. Plus, if you subscribe, you'll save $2 per stick and can have Native conveniently delivered to your door every 1, 2, 3, or 4 months.
For 20% off your first purchase, visit nativedeodorant.com and use promo code OXYGEN during checkout. That's NativeDeodorant.com and use promo code OXYGEN for 20% off during checkout.
Anyway, back to this. So police got a tip that someone near the cornfield had heard gunshots and a girl screaming. See, stay away from
typical
the cornfield.
Typical cornfield noise.
Typical cornfield. They searched the area for nearly a week before making a grisly discovery. The sheriff said, quote, we weren't expecting a torso, a body with head, arms, and legs. Yes, maybe, but a torso, that was a completely different thing, end quote. Moments later, they found a female torso. As they combed the area, they began to find depressions in the rows of corn. They pulled one back and found an arm.
What?
One cop said, quote, the only time that I had seen anything more horrific than this was when I did my tour in Vietnam.
Jesus.
A kind of person that would do this is cold and calculating and has ice water in their veins, end quote. A boot print was found and a cast was taken, so they did have some evidence, it sounds like.
Yeah.
The medical examiner used dental records to confirm that it was Annette and Todd. They were killed with a .22 caliber gun and chopped up with a sharp knife or machete. The autopsy reported that Todd had crisscross knife cuts on his body and his privates had been chopped off.
That's horrendous. That's horrendous. I mean, I'm actually surprised it took them a week. I mean, I don't know how big the cornfields were. Obviously, in the Midwest, they can range for acres.
Well,
and so
Ohio,
it's a lot.
Yeah.
But you sort of feel like if they had a drone kind of covering the area, because it is easy to like depress corn. Yeah, like, yeah. And when you walk over it, it's not like it springs back up.
Well, right. Do you believe in crop circles, by the way? Like alien beings doing crop circles?
No, it's like people with like, I mean, I believe crop circles can happen and that they exist.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's people with like planks and they like step on it and walk, and they're just like used to like fuck with people. Yes. Oh.
Or there is aliens. Matt, what about you? As he takes
I do not believe him.
Oh, okay.
You don't believe that aliens are doing them.
Exactly.
Megan?
The truth is out there, and I think it's aliens.
Just you, John. The truth is out there. If you build it, they will come.
Yeah, exactly.
While the families mourn the tragic loss, authorities had a brutal and tough murder to solve. I mean,
this is pretty brutal. It's one thing to just kill somebody, but then to do it like this is so gruesome. And,
well, like ice water in the veins, heartless.
Yeah, exactly.
Reports quickly came in that there might be cult activity in the area.
Not another cult.
Well, I don't know, cornfields.
So many cults.
An investigator said, quote, there was some cult activity in southeastern Ohio that was practicing out in the woods near that area, end quote. Could they have been victims of some sort of satanic sacrifice? Who knows? Mm-hmm. It's also very close to Halloween. Was it linked? Did any of you guys see Midsommar?
No, Midsommar? I heard it was amazing.
I really want to see it. And this makes me kind of think of that. But the sheriff said, quote, we had searched the cornfield. We found no evidence of any satanic worship. Yeah, no altars, no sacrificial kind of thing. No satanic signs at all, end quote. And you'd think that you would, or at least like a cult would leave its calling card if you would, you know, because they want that notoriety for people to distinguish themselves.
Exactly, right.
Regardless, trick-or-treating was canceled in the town that year. Mm. Listen, a town of 7,000, it's probably going to be canceled. Yeah. That's a pretty brutal murder regardless. 10 days later, a memorial service was held for the couple, and the town basically shut down for it. Hundreds of people came, but a few key people were missing. Annette's mother and stepfather didn't come to the service, according to Buried in the Backyard.
That seems odd. I mean, we talked about how people process death a lot on this
but
show.
But their funeral of their own kid?
Yeah, that's a little weird.
According to ColumbusAlive.com, which is a hilarious name for a website, quote, rumors began circulating that Annette's stepfather had molested her.
Oh, God. End
quote. And the sheriff told Buried in the Backyard that, quote, Annette had told Todd that Dale Johnston had been molesting her since she was 10 years old.
Okay.
However, Dale, his wife Sarah, and his wife's other daughter Michelle all denied the accusation, according to ColumbusAlive.com. Dale's attorney said, quote, any allegation that's been possible to disprove has been disproved. And if there was any incest, Michelle and Sarah certainly would have known about it or heard about it. The answer is just no. End
yeah.
quote.
And just for clarifying, Dale is the stepfather.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Just making sure we all know.
You'd think, I mean, granted, like a molester has certain ways of hiding, and it's not like they're doing it out in the open. So it's not necessarily clear cut that the other daughters would know.
Yeah.
But you would think they could confide in each other, or I don't know. You'd think something would come out.
So. Yeah, hopefully.
It's just impossible to say, I think, based off of what we know here. Mm-hmm. But I think it is kind of potentially telling that her sister saw no signs of this.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just impossible to say.
And honestly, it could be the difference of being a biological kid or a stepchild.
Yeah.
And that could matter all the difference.
Oh, that's very true. Yeah.
Well, Greg, Todd's brother, said, quote, I started to learn why Annette had moved out of the house. I remembered my dad talking to me and the conversations he had had with Todd got very emotional and was crying and saying to Dad that he had to help Annette because her stepfather Dale had been doing things to her.
Oh, that's so heartbreaking, though.
Well, Greg actually took his theory to the police. The sheriff said, quote, we asked him, what was it like at home? And he explained it very vividly. He says, quote, when I come home from work after a hard day, I like to take all my clothes off and my shoes and sit in my chair and read the newspaper, end quote. Can I just, before I continue on, let me say the first thing I do when I get home is I do take off my clothes and put on like comfy
something
sweats.
Something comfy, sure.
But sitting there naked,
know,
reading, like, that's a serial killer trait. That's a serial killer trait.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
And we said, quote, you sit in the nude and read the newspaper in front of your two daughters and your wife? And he said, yeah, that's what I do almost every day, end quote.
That's so disturbing.
I mean, Matt's a father, so now we know.
Now it's weird.
Wow.
He said it's just nature.
Just nature. After that, it wasn't too hard to reach a conclusion that she left that household after she had graduated to get away from him.
Yeah.
End quote. Detectives wasted no time in questioning Dale, of course. He denied everything except reading the newspaper in the nude, probably because he did it in front of his daughters. Once you get caught in that lie.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, he read, you know, he would have been fucked.
Well, and the other thing, too, is what I mean, this is just very anecdotal working at Oxygen and doing this show with you, is it feels like a lot of sexual predators are so proud of like the weirdness of their nudity in a lot of ways. And like, I just feel like I hear this all the time. And you've mentioned this research about him denying everything except reading the newspaper in the nude. It's right. Like, no, he's not going to deny this one thing he's super proud of and
so
you know,
weird.
Makes awkward.
We should all record an episode in the nude just as a bonding experience, you know?
Yeah. We'll read the newspaper.
No.
Yeah. Do you think it would make Matt a better bartender?
No.
Yeah.
Definitely
no.
not.
I'm not drinking the drinks. I'll tell you that much.
I'm definitely not going anywhere near those drinks.
They asked if he could search his property, Dale's property, and he actually consented. Soon they found a .22 caliber weapon and a machete.
Oh, okay.
They also found a blood-soaked carpet. Are we not, is it just me? Like, is this okay?
All right. All things are leading to...
Well, get this. Yeah. When questioned, Dale said that the carpet was just, you know, from skinning a deer in the living room.
Because that's where you skin a deer.
You skin a deer. Oh, that is fucking weird.
Reading a newspaper naked in front of your children. Like, was he naked while skinning?
Ew. Ew, Darren.
Thank you. Megan knew that that comment was very appropriate.
There's so much blood that is going to come out when you're skinning a fucking deer.
Not only
why wouldn't you do it outside or in the garage?
Not only that, why are you doing it on carpet?
This show didn't have to get this weird.
But even like a wooden floor like is weird, let alone a carpeted thing.
Right, no one's going to believe that, by the way. Right.
Well, there was nothing conclusive on the weapons linking them to the crime scene, and the blood came back inconclusive as to whether it was even animal or human.
That's weird.
Just goes to show how not far we off from animals.
Seriously. This was a while. This was the 80s.
Right.
So. Oh, right. Good point.
But they did take prints of his cowboy boots, and an expert in North Carolina did think it was a possible match. But was all of this circumstantial evidence enough for charges, let alone a conviction?
I say yes.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how good, you know, it's like...
Yeah.
A polygraph test. You know what I mean?
Megan's shaking her head no.
Well, a grand jury didn't think that, right?
Well, a grand jury actually thought so. Yeah. And Dale was indicted for the brutal murders.
Oh, interesting. So I'm just can't get over the idea of like skinning a deer in the living room. Like, does he think people believe
sir,
that?
Sir, maybe you didn't murder these people, but you deserve to be in a mental institution for even considering this.
Right. Well, okay, so he stood trial in January of 1994. Interestingly, he requested a trial by court instead of a jury, so a three-panel judge was deciding. Annette's mother swore that Dale was innocent throughout the entire process. Investigators believe that Dale was in love with Annette and became enraged with jealousy by her relationship with Todd.
I don't know. Does Annette's mother not think it's weird that he would have skinned a deer? Like, as her mother, did you not think it's weird that he had a machete, blood all over the house, and a .22 caliber? Did this not...
I mean, Darren's looking right in my eyes and asking me, but I am not her mom.
Well, John, you skin deers for a living, so tell me what it's like.
I find it very offensive.
Oh, my God.
This line of questioning
about skinning deers. That's true.
Very offensive.
And is it deers or deer? I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah. Oh.
I think it's deer.
That's
Matt, you are
deer.
A deer, yeah, and you don't know that.
I'm an animal. I can't speak for
But it is, but it is reindeers.
He's holding his drink with a hoof right now.
I don't think it is reindeers.
It's a miracle I can speak English at all.
Let's just move on, guys, okay?
Yeah. I don't know, my crab claw with my hands, hurting. I feel bad. I feel like I have a hoof.
Oh, that's okay. You kind of do, actually.
I have a hoof.
So after a two-week trial, Dale was convicted with just 4 hours of deliberations.
Shit.
Which is a very short amount of time, typically, I should say. He was sentenced to death by lethal injection. Case closed, you're thinking, well, not exactly, because then 7 years later, an appeals court threw out Dale's conviction and ruled that all evidence in the case was inadmissible. What?
Wow.
Especially the boot print?
Wow. John, stop drinking.
Print?
Stop drinking now.
I don't think they do butt prints.
I was just, I don't
do
know.
Are butt prints evidence?
Well, when he's skinning his deer in his carpeted living room, he leaves a butt print, and that's how we know it's John Thasher.
All right. So especially.
All right.
And no two butts are the same, kind of like a fingerprint. So
exactly.
I think
no two cheeks are the same, my friend.
You guys are the worst.
He's done. He's quitting after this.
I will say this. You know, I just had another 19-9 day because I thought it was footprint. And so I was like, I was reading it like footprint, but it was obviously a boot. And I was like, butt print.
And that led to, butt print.
Yeah.
Hashtag
right.
Butt print.
I've got to quit the show, obviously.
Hashtag this, still a good boy.
I can't do this. Okay, so especially the boot print found in the cornfield, which was the primary piece of evidence used to convict him. So they're saying that was now inadmissible in court.
Right.
Out of nowhere. According to NBC News, and quote, FBI examiner testified at Johnston's trial, that's Dale, before a three-judge panel that he couldn't find a match between his boot and the impression from the scene. But prosecutors also presented a deposition from the North Carolina anthropologist in which she said it appears that the heel of Johnston's boot, quote, could have indeed made that impression, end quote. So what more do you really need here? I don't know. One of the other critical pieces of supposed evidence, according to NBC News, was a witness who, after being hypnotized, said he saw Dale forcing the couple into a car.
How can that be used, though? Like, that seems a little loose.
Hypnotism? I don't know.
But also, the anthropologist said, it appears that the boot, quote, could have indeed made that impression. That's not very strong wording to me.
No, not at all. It's not.
Yeah.
And also, it's a shoe. It could have been another person who had that.
And if there's a 7,000 people town, they're probably all buying the same shoe.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Good point. Take a drink.
Thank you. They all have
the same brand cowboy boots. Police sometimes hypnotize people as a way of enhancing their memory, so that's why that was happening. The Supreme Court ruled that his conviction was unlawful and he was released. The community was outraged. Todd's brother Greg told Buried in the Backyard, quote, that was a slap in the face. Someone who did such a violent, horrible thing was now free to walk the streets and go wherever he wanted. That was very hard, very difficult. It was almost like going through it all over again.
I imagine.
End quote. Yeah, totally. The newly appointed prosecutor instructed investigators to approach it as a new case and keep all paths open. They began to re-interview everyone. It took a while, but after 10 years, a whole decade, new evidence had turned up. An investigator said, quote, there was a known criminal in the area who was currently on probation. She pretty much told the probation officer that she might have seen both the victims around her house on the day that they disappeared, end quote. At the time, the person in question was married to a man named Kenny Linscott, who was also a known criminal. So now the pieces are kind of coming together here. She said that Todd and Annette had briefly been at a party at their home before they left. At the same time that they left, her ex-husband Kenny and a friend of his left as well. When Kenny came back, he was bloodied with cuts and told his wife that he'd been in a fight at a local bar. When asked who Kenny's friend was, she said that she only remembered his first name, Chester. Okay, we got all the names going on here. I just want to make sure.
We're there.
Was it possible Kenny had done this and had been hiding it all these years? An investigator told Buried in the Backyard, quote, we spent quite a few hours with Kenny, and I would say there were three or four times when he was right on the brink of a confession, and each time he backed off and did not confess, end quote. Police asked him about the bloody cuts the night of the murder, and he claimed he broke the glass to his storm door and cut himself, but wouldn't say anything more.
Okay, so he's saying one thing to the police and one thing to his wife.
Exactly.
So that's suspicious.
Exactly. Great way to
put it. I still can't get over skinning a deer in the living room.
I hope that we move on.
Regardless, Dale.
Yes.
No one should hunt deer.
No, well. So investigators looked for his friend, the mysterious Chester, with very little to go on. So years go by, right? It already took 10 years for this evidence even to come forward, if it's evidence.
Right.
It had been 25 years since the murder, but investigators actually got a lucky break. A local inmate with a troubled conscience wrote a letter saying he had something to get off his chest. His name was Chester McKnight, and he had a history of sexual crimes. An investigator said, quote, Chester stated that there was a party going on the entire day. They kept Kenny and Chester had both been drinking all day and doing some marijuana. And that's when Todd and Annette came to the house because they had wanted to purchase some marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
If you do marijuana, the next thing you know, you're
in a cornfield
and chopping off their private place.
Reefer madness.
So let it be a lesson.
He told investigators that he really wanted to have sex with Annette, so he and Kenny followed the couple down to the cornfield. Chester made an advance toward Annette, and Todd got in the way. The investigator said, quote, and Todd tried to get it to get in his way and fight Chester off of Annette. And I think when that happened, Chester took a weapon from Kenny. Kenny took a gun to the cornfield with him because he normally carried one with him, end quote.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to go to the cornfield, you might want to have some protection in that way. You just never know. Even just like animals.
Well, yeah.
Something to think about.
Chester killed Todd and then killed the witness, Annette. Mm. Monsters and Critics wrote that, quote, it seems that Chester McKnight had planned to rape Annette Cooper and to kill her boyfriend if he objected. Todd Schultz did object, and he was shot 6 times before screaming Annette Cooper was also shot dead. Ugh. Kenny Linscott and Chester McKnight then stripped them so they could be dismembered, though not before Chester McKnight masturbated over Annette Cooper's naked dead body.
This is some really sick and twisted stuff. Like, I don't know. That's like those details just really bother me.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about this type
of
stuff.
Fucking disgusting is what it is.
Like, even outside of the heinous crime, what, like, you follow someone because you want to have sex with them? Like, you just follow them to...
You follow them, and then when you don't...
And you're going to be like, hey...
I'm going to dismember you.
I'm going to have sex with you, or I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
Have you ever had someone follow you that you didn't know? Has that ever happened to anybody?
It's happened to me, like, on the streets a couple times, I'm very, like, vigilant about, like, paying attention.
Me too.
Yeah.
There was this person, I remember, like, one of my first years here in New York, and it was a guy, and he was, like, clearly, like, on drugs or something on the subway, but, like, seemed somewhat normal. Like, he didn't seem like someone who was, like, crazy mentally ill or anything, but you could tell he was on something, and... I could see him like staring at me at the other end of the subway car, and I got off at a subway station, and he followed me for like 20 minutes. Like, I was walking around streets to see if he was going to follow me in all the weird directions I was going.
Yeah.
And
how old is this guy? Was he older than you?
He was definitely older. I would say like late 30s or something.
Okay.
And finally, like, I started walking over towards a cop car just to see if he would still even follow me then. And by the time I turned around to see if he wasn't following me anymore. And it still kind of gives me this weird feeling of like, is he out there? Because I don't really remember what he looks like now.
Sure.
And it's kind of like, I don't know. If I see him again, would I know that that was him? I don't know. Just a weird thing.
It's eerie.
Following is a very weird thing to me.
Yeah.
For everybody, but yeah.
CBS 10 spoke with Chester McKnight, and he described that he could hide from the law, but not his conscience. Well, it's weird that he has a conscience.
Right.
That's
true.
Weird.
Weird.
Quote, you live with something for 26 years. It's like a cancer that grows inside you, McKnight said. Go out there and do something hideous like I did and go out and live with that for 26 years and see how you feel.
Yeah.
Hashtag no thanks.
Yeah, no thanks.
I'm aware enough to know that I shouldn't be dismembering bodies in a cornfield, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Afterward, Chester went back to Kenny's house, got a machete, and they used it to chop up the bodies and throw them in the river and bury the rest. A lie detector test actually backed up Chester's story. The one thing I will say about this is, like, there can be a perfect crime that you can get away with.
Yeah.
But the human mind is so fascinating and grand that sometimes the guilt and your conscience, like, eat at you so much that you just confess.
Well, and the other thing too is, like, a lot of the people, at least from what I'm gathering from the show that we do, the two of us, it's like, and even like the show Snap, it's like a lot of people can't have this in them. They will snap, they will do it, but is it exactly what they are meant to be doing? You know, like, is it in their true character? Probably not. You know what I mean? And so when you think about the human mind and how it kind of makes you feel guilty about it, it just, like you're saying, it just makes it as an interesting kind of, I don't know, like, sociology study about the types of people that can do these things.
Well, yeah. And that's why sometimes, like, when people get away with murder, you know what I mean? Like, granted, Casey Anthony, for example, who was found not guilty and she's living her life wherever. I mean, and I'm not saying she did it or not, but I'm saying that the shame that she's going to get from just the public.
Yeah.
And if she did it,
wouldn't that be so much?
Well, and the guilt that she has to live with. On top of the public shame, probably reminding her every fucking day, like, you're kind of in your own prison.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
I'm not saying that I don't want justice to be served, but there are other forms of punishment that happen naturally.
Absolutely.
Todd's brother Greg remembered, quote, in September 2008, our family met with the prosecutor's office in Logan, and in 50 minutes, they laid out an entirely different scenario. And in that 50 minutes, I went from believing 100% that Dale Johnson had killed Todd and Annette to believing that Kenny Linscott and Chester McKnight were the guilty parties and that Dale was innocent, end quote.
That information is just so
crazy. Which we kind of went through on this
crazy.
Podcast.
Yeah.
And I think And I listen, if Dale had molested her, we don't know. We're not covering that case. Let's say he did, fucking horrible person, and he deserves to be put away. But if he didn't, this is exactly why the death penalty is not a good thing and is barbaric.
I was just thinking the exact same thing.
Because if he's innocent, he could have died. And like, thank God it kind of takes a while to kill a person in this country because now he at least could have justice.
That's true.
On September 2nd, 2008, 26 years after the murders, Kenny and Chester were arrested. Chester said, quote, I knew the consequences, which I'm willing to endure, you know, something to that I had to put to rest, end quote. He made sure to say that he was the sole perpetrator of the murders. He pled guilty to both murders and was sentenced to life without parole for at least 20 years.
That makes sense. Yeah.
He said to CBS 10, quote, I'm not fighting the death penalty. I want the death penalty because I took two lives. I took two lives for nothing, end quote. No, you want to be put out of your misery. That's what you want, so you don't have to suffer anymore. Kenny pled as well to abuse of a corpse and time served. He was released after 10 months.
Oh.
Abuse of a corpse. Greg said, quote, Kenny sat back for years knowing someone else would take in the blame for a crime he had committed and watched the damage he had caused, not only to Todd and Annette, but to the entire community, end quote. Dale Johnson spent many years trying to get compensation for his wrongful conviction, according to The Guardian. He described his incarceration to The Guardian as such, death row is the most horrible place anybody could be, especially when you know they're wanting to kill you for something you didn't do, end quote. And let me just say, if Chester had not come forward, he would have been responsible for a third death.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great way to put it.
Yep.
And about the wrongful conviction, the compensation, most states will give you up to $1 million per year you've spent in jail on a wrongful conviction. So there's quite a bit of like life to get back there potentially from this guy.
That being said, if he molested his stepdaughter,
listen, that's an entirely
different story. So we're just taking the case as it comes.
Per his conviction.
Yeah. I just want to state that because it doesn't seem like he was a gem either, but we don't know.
Yeah.
Also what Greg said, I think Kenny was pretty lucky with the 10 months because
that's true.
Somebody sat on death row for all that time. I mean, not only did he witness this and whatever else, but like, just knowing that somebody's been convicted, they're sitting on death row.
I know.
And you're just letting that happen.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
He lost 7 years of his life for something he didn't do. You know, and even that.
And Kenny could have turned in Chester and, you know, admitted his role.
Yeah.
And, you know, he wouldn't have been had a heavy sentence.
Yeah.
And he could have got out the
Chester was already serving time. Right. He was already serving time.
Yeah. What?
It's all fucked up across the board.
I do appreciate this case for at least showing even to us, like, you know, like we were making, first off, skinning the deer on a carpet. You're still wrong and you deserve to go to jail. Fact.
True.
Just as a society thing, a society standard. But in all seriousness, I think it's good to show that not everything is as it appears. Mm-hmm. And sometimes like all the ducks can be in a row for someone looking guilty. But until like there are innocent people out there who they have all the evidence mounted against them and they're still innocent.
And, you know, we've gotten better about all this in recent years as a society. But imagine this in the 80s and even before.
God,
like, who knows how many innocent people have been killed?
Exactly.
It's terrible.
Well,
don't leave your butt prints anywhere. My.
John, right. John.
Megan, can you turn his mic off by any chance?
Let us know what you guys think on social at Jay Thrasher, at Carpe Darren, hashtag Martinis and Murder, at Matt_the_bartender.
But don't bother with him.
No. Yeah. He's gonna leave a hoof print somewhere.
I'm not typically this mean to Matt, but today
I know you're
I'm
feeling sassy
it.
Today.
Tell us a listener shout out.
Let me start. Campbell on Twitter says, quote, I just discovered you guys 2 days ago and I've been binge listening to you guys at work. I love the show. Keep up the good work. Hashtag murder teeny. Hashtag don't kill me, Matt. Hashtag cheers, bitches.
I love the hashtag murder teeny. Like, I almost wonder if we should come up with our own
drink
recipe and call it the murder teeny
instead of our concoctatinis when he's
we could do
not
that.
Around
right where we just literally like kids at like their parents' house like just pouring things
exactly
into a thing. Here's another one. Jennifer tweeted to you, Darren. She said, thought of you in the interview with Dateline Keith on Martinis and Murder. Thanks for doing your job well and say hi to Jay Thrasher. Hey, Jennifer. My workday goes by much faster when I listen to you all. That's nice. Do you remember getting that tweet?
I do. Jennifer says hi, John.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Forgot to tell you.
Thanks. I'll make sure
Jennifer
to say
says
hi to her.
Yeah.
I love that she says say hi and then tags me. I know. Like, I'm going to see that. You can just talk directly to me.
I love you, Jennifer.
Yeah, nice.
Don't let John give you sass.
All right. Well, that's it for this week's episode. And we've got a lot of fun stuff coming up in the weeks ahead. So
I'll go skin a deer.
We have to go do that now.
Group effort.
Got it.
Yep.
All right.
Team outing.
See you guys next time.
Bye.